This is the one thing that no one has looked at. The original Mexican pioneer families who came to Douglas.
We didn't have TV or cell phones or whatever to get distracted. You sat and you listened to these amazing stories of how families came, how, you know, what your grandfather did. You know, that was how you learned your history of who you were.
They knew that the Durazos would take care of their cars and help them with gas, with whatever they needed for that, to keep them running. That's what I love about the Douglas Oral History Project. It connects people with their memories and with the way life was.
Serving all of Cochise County, you're listening to a special edition of the Herald Review's podcast, The Daily Chirp. I'm Summer Hom, and here's today's story. Jenny Jordan, Dr. Cecilia Lewis, and Dr. Beth Henson are championing the mission to share the untold stories of the people of Douglas, Arizona. Their organization, the Douglas Oral History Project, aims to gather and share the stories of everyday working people of Douglas, from the city's founding in 1901 till the 1980s. The project's Facebook page of the same name has nearly 500 followers since its creation in December 30th, 2020. Today, we'll dive into the project's origin and our guests' family ties to the area. Joining me now are the three founders of the Douglas Oral History Project, Jenny Jordan, Dr. Cecilia, or Ceci Lewis, and Dr. Beth Henson. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about our project.
So why did the three of you start the Douglas Oral History Project last year?
I live in Bisbee, which is half an hour away. I've been in Bisbee since the early 80s, and I have a PhD in history from the University of Arizona. For my PhD, I wrote a book about Chihuahua, and when I finished that book, I mean, it's now been published, I was looking for a history project that was closer to home, and I thought about working in Douglas. I did a project on the Partido Mexicano Liberal, the Mexican Liberal Party, which was an anarchist group that was associated with the industrial workers of the world. They were active in the borderlands in the early 20th century, and I did a project about the PLM in Douglas a couple of years ago. And then I was sort of looking around. I was writing an article based on that project, and I knew Jeannie Jordan. I've known Jeannie for about 10 years doing various activities in Douglas. And one day in October, I realized that I was interviewing someone for my article for the Cochise County Historical Journal. Jeannie was interviewing someone about some paintings that we'd found in Ombreros Hall. And I said, you know what? We should be doing oral history. We should be interviewing people all the time. This is the one thing that no one has looked at. The original Mexican pioneer families who came to Douglas.
We understand, particularly I suspect COVID has underscored the importance, but I have always been interested in oral histories and the stories of people who came before us. I think that's part of my heritage, right? Hearing the family stories and learning and keeping the spirits alive of the people who preceded us. I really got to know Jenny well when I was working on my dissertation work. Her mother was one of the women in my study, women of Mexican heritage in Douglas, very specific, of the early 20th century. So she and I were like-minded. And then I came to know through Jenny Beth Henson, who also is a history major. Her work is on the labor. So together we come to know and love Douglas. I'm a native of Douglas. Jenny's a native of Douglas. So it was kind of a serendipitous arrangement, I think you would say.
Both, all three of us love history, and all three of us love the, you know, different parts of the history in this area. And especially we grew up in a time where you sat around and you listened to your elders all the time, and they told these amazing stories. We didn't have TV. Well, I didn't have TV where, you know, you or cell phones or whatever to get distracted. You sat and you listened to these amazing stories of how families came, how, you know, what your grandfather did, you know, what your dad did as a kid, your mom did as a kid. And so, you know, that was how you learned your history of who you were.
Since the group's creation in December of last year, what has been the response from the community so far?
they just absolutely love it. You know, we thought we were going to have a hard time getting people to come in and talk about it, especially on camera, you know, because people are really shy, you know, about doing that kind of thing. But they were really willing to tell their story, because I think they know that if they don't tell the story, it stops when they go. So they were really willing, and they were willing to bring in pictures, and they're willing to share, especially when you think about it. The history of today is usually told about those people that were the big guys, you know, that were the smelter founders or the bosses or the railroad or whatever it might be. But whose story is not told is so important. It's that everyday person that came, and they were amazing people, and they connected with each other, and they created these communities, and they took care of each other. And they were strong, and they suffered, and they persevered, and they were just, I love to hear their stories, you know, because you start thinking about it, and you're like, wow.
We've had an amazing response. We have dozens of people lined up to be interviewed. Everyone has been very supportive. People are bringing us their photos. We have volunteers who come in and help us go through some of the old documents we've turned up. The community's been absolutely supportive.
Could you share a little bit more about your relationship to the area?
Well, I came to Bisbee in 1983 as a refugee from big city living. And I didn't think there was any life at all in small towns before I came to Bisbee. Because Bisbee's on the border, I began going to Mexico. I've lived in Zacatecas, I've lived in Chihuahua off and on for years, and I've lived in Mexico City. And so Douglas was just a natural for me.
On the Jordan side, on the Jordan side, my grandfather was an orphan in Mexico. Well, two of them came with an uncle and aunt that were coming to Douglas because another uncle who was on his way to find gold in Alaska was in Los Angeles, met some people and said, no, you got to go to Douglas. So he came in 1906. My grandmother, the Candelaria Jordan, she came later, 1916. My grandparents, the Garcias, they came in 1917. My mom played baseball. They were called the Jitterbugs, you know, and they were women's baseball in World War II. You know, all the men were off to war, and the women took the game up, and they would put them in cattle trucks, and they would drive through Cochise County, and they played in Wilcox, and they played in Benson and Bisbee, you know, and these women, you know, especially the Mexican-American team, the Jitterbugs, they didn't have money for gloves, you know, and so people would donate things to them. Then after that, they picked up the cards and played canasta. So for the next 30 years, until they started passing away, my mom passed away at 95. She was still playing canasta, you know. My dad served on the city council for 20 years, you know, here in Douglas. So then you get all these inside stories and you just absolutely wound up with it.
So my great-grandfather and great-grandmother migrated from Mexico in the late 19th century to work in the smelter, and then came to Douglas when the smelter was being built here in 1902. My grandmother, Josefa Vasquez Bertner, was born in El Paso. So my great-grandfather and great-grandmother arrived around 1904. And they had a store on First Street, and he worked the smelter, and she ran the store. My mother was born here, and my father came from what we call the Opateria in Sonora. They came in 1930. He was 4 years old when they migrated to Douglas, and they came specifically because of La Guerra Cristero. During and post the revolution, the Mexican Revolution, Catholicism was outlawed. The new regime felt that the Catholic Church did not benefit the people. Priests were being assassinated. Anyone with Catholic faith had to keep their faith underground. And my grandmother, Beatriz Kosterlitsky Durazo, could not do that anymore. So she moved her family here, she and her husband. He had ranches in Sonora, and they moved here so that she could practice her faith and her children could practice their faith. And of course, my mother and father eventually met post-World War II, got married in 1949, and had me, the third of five children.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the Durazo shell?
So my uncle, Manuel Y. Durazo, was the proprietor of the Durazo gas station. He purchased it maybe in the 50s. My dad started working for his brother in the late 50s, and the Durazo boys were kind of crazy. They had a very good sense of humor. I suspect that's where I got it from. And they were a full-service gas station. You just pulled up to the pumps. They came running out, did everything. They did some work on engines and tires. They always had a line of credit for people, particularly when the smelters would shut down and they were on strike. When the smelter shut down, people could still go. They knew that the Durazos would take care of their cars and help them with gas, with whatever they needed. That's what I love about the Douglas Oral History Project. It connects people with their memories and with the way life was.
How many stories have you collected so far?
We were just going through this, but I think we've done 14 or 15 interviews to date, and we're in the process of transcribing them. We have someone working on getting us like video trailers for them.
On the Facebook page, it was announced that the group was putting together a photo exhibit. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, so one of our main goals for the Douglas Oral History Project is to honor and provide a more inclusive history of Douglas. So there is a history of Douglas, it's very clear. And the history of Douglas is centered around the smelter and Phelps Dodge. And that's how Douglas came to be, that's where how all these people came here. But we want what is never seen or shown is the real people of Douglas who worked here, lived here, loved here. And so we're looking for a more inclusive history. So we've been interviewing teachers and music store owners and things like that for their stories, so that we can see what the laborers were. And so our goal is to do an exhibit on the laborers of Douglas, whether they owned a taxi stand, newspaper stand, woman's dress shop, or the gas station. Who were the people that made up the labor movements here? And that's, we're pretty excited about it.
Henson, Lewis, and Jordan said that they're aiming to open the exhibit in September of this year, but noted that the day, time, and location has not been determined yet. Looking forward, what are the future plans for the Douglas Oral History Project?
To capture as many stories as possible and to make it available to see, you know, through the internet, through a web page, and they can start looking for their story, or they can connect with others. Okay, I remember I went to school with that person, or there'll be a connection for people so their story and their roots aren't lost.
So overall, what we're really hoping is to create an archive, a space where people can come and find their stories, whether it's a digital space or a physical space or both. We don't get paid anything. This is a labor of love. We're searching for grants and funding all the time, and we've been receiving some funds, right? But we're working on a shoestring and a prayer, and we're grateful to do that because this is a labor of love. And these are not our stories, they're theirs, right? And we want them to be able to access them.
We want to keep going. We don't have any ending date in sight.
My guests today are Ginny Jordan, Dr. Cecilia Lewis, and Dr. Beth Henson. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all for listening to this special edition of The Daily Chirp. To listen to more content, go to www.myheraldreview.com/podcasts or check out The Daily Chirp on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. This podcast is sponsored by Lawley Automotive Group, Apex Network Physical Therapy, Sulphur Springs Valley Electric Cooperative, Benson Hospital, and Prestige Senior Living. I'm Summer Hom, and for the team here at The Herald Review, we wish you all a pleasant and informed day. See you soon!